This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فما بعد My dear respected brothers and sisters, a friend of mine asked me a question. We were talking about all that is happening in the world, a lot of which is negative. May Allah protect us from all evil and all harm, that which we know and that which we don't know. So this friend of mine, he's not a Muslim, and he is also one of those who seems to be in the trap of blaming religion and blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blaming God for everything which is happening. And this is a very frequent cop-out that we see from people who are otherwise intelligent, but in this particular case they seem to be confused. So he said, why religion at all? Why do we need religion? So I said to him that I will answer this from the perspective of Islam, because I'm a Muslim. So I won't say why religion, I will say why Islam. And I came up with, when I was thinking about this, how to answer him, I came up with 10 reasons why Islam. And that's what I want to share with you. The first reason is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is real. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a mythological figure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a theory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a figment of my imagination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not something that I created. Allah created me. He is my creator, He is my provider, He is my owner. He is Al-Khaliq, Wal-Malik, Wal-Hakim, Wal-Raziq. He is Al-Razaq, Udul-Quwwat, Al-Mateen. He is my Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu. And to Him is my return. When I die, I will return to Him and I will answer for how I lived my life, to be rewarded or punished. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from His punishment, and I request Him and beg Him for His forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about this, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly for us, where He said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and say, the truth is from your Rabb, from Allah. Then whoever wills, let him believe, and whoever wills, let him disbelieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted this freedom to everyone to believe or not to believe. We are free to choose, but the choice is not free. Every choice has a price tag. And that is why it is essential to choose wisely in the light of the consequences of the choice. The only criterion to use for all our choices is, does this please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu or not? If it does, we do it. If it doesn't, we don't do it. If we don't know, we don't do it until we find out. And once we find out, we do it or we don't. We don't play games. We don't take chances. We don't obey selectively based on our whims and fancies, because we know and accept and understand that selective obedience is disobedience. Number 2, why do I need Islam? Because death is real and the return to Allah is real. It's not mythology. It's not a figment of my imagination. It is real. I know that I will die one day, just as I saw my father die just as I saw others die, and that be at any time. I know that I will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will have to account for what I did in this life, for what I chose to do and what I chose not to do. About this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angel of death has been set over you, and he will take your souls and you will be brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt about this. Death is a reality. It is the visible reality which reminds us of the unperceivable reality, the reality in the ghaib, which is our return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can see death happening, and one day it will happen to us. What we cannot see is the return to Allah, but the death, the reality we can see, reminds us of the reality we cannot see. Just like denying death doesn't mean that we won't die, denying the meeting with Allah does not mean it will not happen. Reality does not depend on belief for its existence. It is for us to correct our belief and to act according to it and prepare for the eventuality, which is real, cannot be postponed, and can happen at any time. Number three, I need Islam because to prepare for the inevitable is a sign of intelligence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his book, the Quran, and he sent his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, to guide us about how to live this life in a way that is beneficial for all of humanity, for all the inhabitants of the earth, and for the earth itself, such that our lives become beautiful for us and become a source of great harmony and beauty and grace for everyone and everything around us. About these laws and these rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْخِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah said, and there is a saving of life for you in al-qisas, in the law of equality in punishment, O people of understanding, that you may become al-muttaqoon, that you may become people who are concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah refers specifically to the criminal law of Islam, which very strangely perhaps for us today, Allah says something very unexpected. He says that in this law there is saving of life. For those who criticize the severity of the punishments, I would invite them to look at the purpose of the punishment, that it must punish the criminal and not anyone else, and that it must be a deterrent for other potential aspiring criminals by making the price of the crime very high. Today, our societies, which have so-called kinder laws, are suffering from a profusion of crime. South Africa and India are prime examples of rampant criminality, with the most heinous crimes being committed on an epidemic scale. The Islamic criminal code is the fairest and most merciful of criminal laws, and if and where applied, results in a huge reduction of crime. I'm happy to explain this to anyone who's interested. If anyone is interested, please send me an email and I will send you a short lecture of mine on the criminal law in Islam, which inshallah will make things clear for you. Point number four, why do we need Islam? Because human beings need a code of ethics and values that is eternal and not constantly changing according to the whims and fancies of the time. People need to have a clear path of guidance which tells them what is right and what is not. Some of this is naturally clear and you don't need a divine book or a prophet to tell you. But other things need to be told in clear terms, to be demonstrated, to show that it is possible to live your life according to that method. Islam does this for us. It shows us a clear path by statement and demonstration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to obey His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take whatever He gave us and leave whatever He told us to leave. This shows the importance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and His sunnah for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. And whatsoever the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you, take it. And whatever he forbids you from, abstain from it. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger, fear Allah. Verily, Allah is severe in punishment. Take the case, to give you an example, take the case of making the, I am quoting, within quotes, recreational use of marijuana legal. I am not saying that this is good or bad. My question is, if it is legal today, it means that when it was considered illegal, that was a mistake. So what about all those who got jailed in the 60s and 70s, the hippies, for exactly the same thing? That is, recreational use of cannabis. Of course, they did a lot of other stuff, and I'm not supporting that. My point is that when laws are based on what is trending at the time, they will be unjust. There is no escape from this. Number five, why do we need Islam? Because human beings need to be reminded that there is no escape from accountability. Because the one who will call them to account is all-seeing, all-listening, all-knowing. Nothing is hidden from him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Nothing escapes him. He does not sleep nor doze, nor is he inattentive in any way. He is Allah. He is not a human being. He is not like anyone or anything in his creation. He is the creator. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't need to rest. He has no needs, but he fulfills the needs of everything in his creation. That is why we worship him alone, Jalla Jalaluhu, because he is alone. He is unique. He is incomparable. He is unaffected by anyone or anything. He is free from all needs. He is free from all human qualities and frailties. It is therefore necessary to spend time to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to feel His presence in our lives, and to allow His glory and majesty to permeate our hearts and minds and make our lives obedient to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Zalzala, so whoever does good equal to the weight of an atom, smallest particle, shall see it. Whoever does evil equal to the weight of an atom, shall see it. Nobody will escape the consequences of his or her deeds on the day of judgment, no matter what happened to them in this life. There are plenty of people in the world who commit all kinds of crimes, from genocide to smaller ones, and are apparently walking free and happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that every one of us is being watched, and everything we say and do is being recorded, and on the day of judgment, we will see, not just be informed about or read it, but we will see it ourselves, everything we did. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His protection for all of us. Number six, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself. In the changing of the seasons, in the transformation of colors from stark gray of apparently dead trees in the winter, standing as mute witnesses in a sea of white snow and ice, to the emerging green of new shoots, resurrection of the earth after death, the sudden explosion of color as every twig spots a flower in spring, in the resurgence of life, green everywhere in summer, trees in production mode, photosynthesizing to produce starch and sugar to store up for the winter. In the painting of the landscape in colors you cannot imagine, shades of orange and purple, yellow, gold, mauve and scarlet, painted by a hand unseen in which there is only goodness. All fall down in fall, heralding the approach of hardship, the circle of life that advances remorselessly whether we like it or not. In every change is a message for those who can see, and the message is prepare or perish. Animals and birds, insects, reptiles and amphibians all recognize the patterns and are in harmony with them. Robins and sparrows, starlings and cardinals, chickadees and jays all build nests starting in spring, and until the end of summer they have raised in some cases multiple broods. The sight of them searching for worms, especially robins, is an inspiration and an example of dedication to their goal to do the best for their offspring. As the season turns, you can see monarch butterflies winging south from Canada to Mexico, the return of the journey they undertook in spring, traveling thousands of miles in multiple generations, 3 to 4 generations. Monarchs in eastern North America have a second home in the Sierra Madre mountains of Mexico. Monarchs in western North America, they overwinter in California. Researchers are still investigating what directional aids monarch butterflies use to find their overwintering location. It appears to be a combination, they say, of directional aids such as the magnetic pull of the earth and the position of the sun, among others, not one in particular. Generation 1 monarchs are the offspring of the monarchs who overwintered in Mexico. Each successive generation travels farther north. It takes 3 to 4 generations to reach the northern United States and Canada. The butterfly that left Canada does not return to Canada, but its offspring do. Or offspring who never saw Canada before, but they return to where their parents came from. Those who follow divine guidance don't go astray. As temperatures start to fall, squirrels hoard nuts, acorns, pecans, and others. They stuff their cheeks with them and they bury them all over the place as caches for winter. But squirrels have memories like mine, so they forget the location of some of their caches. Just thus, an oak is planted. A tree that can reach 70 feet in height and 9 feet wide, with branches that can reach 135 feet in length. The tree that changed the history of the world by enabling the British, Dutch, Portuguese and Spanish to build ships that could sail across oceans in voyages lasting not weeks or months but years, was planted by a squirrel. Botany has a role in the teaching of history, and the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a role in everything. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. In Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of the night and the day, there are indeed signs for people of understanding. Those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always standing, sitting and lying down on their sides, and they think and reflect deeply about the creation of the heavens and the earth, saying, O our Rabb, you have not created all of this without purpose. Glory to you. Give us salvation from the fire. The two books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran Al-Kareem and his creation, to be read, reflected upon and understood. It is a sign of intelligence to recognize the signs of Allah and to see His power and glory and majesty in His creation. That is the reason we must change the way we teach and learn to see the link between the Creator and His creation, between Allah and ourselves. That is the ultimate purpose of our lives, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to connect to Him, to worship Him, to obey Him, so that we can look forward to our meeting with Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that the best meeting of our lives. Number 7, people ask this question, why do bad things happen if there is Allah? I ask you, why does someone who drives like a madman have an accident? Why do you drown if you decide to swim in the ocean, even though there are signs saying swimming not allowed, treacherous currents? Why do you get COVID if you refuse to wear a mask and wash your hands? Who do you want to blame in these cases? The government or human stubbornness and stupidity? Same difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a law. He sent a teacher who not only taught us that law, but lived by it and demonstrated for us how it is to be done. Allah told us what would happen to those who follow the law and those who do not. Our own experience tells us what will happen if we do not follow laws. But we still decide not to follow the law, but to follow our own desires, and then we want to blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it and told us about this. Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas liyuziqahum ba'd alladhi 'amilu la'allahum yarji'un qul siru fil ardi fanzuru kayfa kana 'aqibatu alladhina min qabl kana aktharuhum mushrikeen. Allah said, evil, sins and disobedience of Allah, all kinds of fitan, all kinds of trials and tribulations, all kinds of diseases, all kinds of wars and killings. Fitan, fasad, has spread on the land and the sea because of what the hands of men have earned, because of what people do by their oppression and evil. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why does Allah allow it to happen? So that He can make them taste a part of that. لِيُزِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. Taste a part of that which they have done, in order that they may return. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. They may return by repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, travel in the land and see what the end of those before you was. Most of them were mushrikeen. Most of them were idolaters and people who, polytheists and people who did not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or who joined others in the worship of Allah. We need Islam because we need laws that are eternal and constant and good for all the inhabitants of the earth, not only for Muslims. Islamic laws do not discriminate against anyone. They are not racist. They are not elitist. Number 8, bad things happen because we want them to happen. That is both the ugly truth and the great good news, because it means that bad things can stop happening if we choose to behave differently. It's our call. The choice is ours. The consequences are ours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَن كَثِيرٍ. Allah said, and whatever misfortune befalls you, it is because of what you have done. It is because of what your hands have earned. And Allah pardons much. Number 9, religious rituals are for us. Salah, fasting, Hajj demonstrate our allegiance to Allah. Allah does not need them. They are for us because they give us peace and harmony and tranquility and contentment and happiness. Happiness is not the product of what we own, but of what we give. The wealthiest person is not the one who owns the most, but the one who can give the most. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّوا الْقُلُوبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whose hearts find rest and tranquility in the remembrance of Allah, Verily, in the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find tranquility. I remind you and myself that everyone in the world is searching for only one thing. That is the reason why people work. That is the reason why they struggle, why they chase money, why they chase power, why they make all the effort, family, friends, everything that we strive for is for only one thing, and that is peace of mind. Itminanul qalb, tranquility, contentment. Yet at the end of a life of struggle, many still do not find it. And they look back on their lives with frustration. That's because you can never find something if you look for it in the wrong place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that tranquility does not lie in what we own or in what we think we own, but in remembering Him. Tranquility lies in Allah's zikr, in contemplating and reflecting and strengthening our relationship with Him. Tranquility lies in trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the result of which is that Allah will please you. The one who can please Allah becomes free from all worldly cares and desires and lives in a permanent state of happiness. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who have peace of mind and tranquility. Itminanul qalb. Last of these, number 10, is religion is not what you know, but what you do. In the words of our Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, who used to say, Islam begins outside the masjid. Islam is what is reflected in our lives. Islam is what our neighbors think of us. Islam is the health of our marriage, the manners of our children, the way we treat others, and the way we respond to their treatment. Islam is not how much we know, but how we act on that knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Wal asr, inna linsana lafi khusr. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah said, by Al-Asr, by the time Allah took an oath of time, verily mankind is in loss, except those who believe in Islam and do righteous deeds and invite one another to the truth, which is Amar bil-Maruf and Nahi al-Munkar, enjoining good and forbidding evil, and who advise one another to be patient about the difficulties that they may encounter in the process of practicing or preaching of Islam. My brothers and sisters, I want to conclude by saying to you and reminding myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to act, to work, to solve problems, to alleviate suffering, to stop oppression, to spread goodness. Allah sent us with the tools to recognize Him and take from Him and give to others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to do the work of the best of mankind, the work of the Anbiya, the Prophets, and the Rusul, the Messengers, because we are the Ummah of the last and final of them, after whom there are no Messengers, there are no Prophets. Their Imam and their Sayyid, the Habib of Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah gave us this as His gift without us asking for it. How can we thank Him? That is why we need religion. That is why we need Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, to accept your ibadat, your worship, to accept your du'as, to give you whatever you ask with khair, and then to add to it from His generosity and glory and magnificence. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.